We are in the 2021st through 2023rd Red Service Manual on page 39, chapter 6, the Annual General Service Conference. In all its proceedings, the General Service Conference shall observe the spirit of the AA tradition, taking great care that the conference never becomes the seat of perilous wealth or power. That sufficient operating funds plus an ample reserve be its prudent financial principle. That none of the conference members shall ever be placed in a position of unqualified authority over any of the others. That all important decisions be reached by discussion, vote, and wherever possible by substantial unanimity. Unanimity. That's not great. That no conference action ever be personally punitive or an incitement to the public controversy, to public controversy. That though the conference may act for the service of Alcoholics Anonymous, it shall never perform any acts of government, and that, like the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, which it serves, the conference itself will always remain democratic in thought and action. General warranties of the conference concept, XII, sorry, 12 concepts for world service. Okay. While the General Service Conference operates all year round, the annual meeting, usually held in April, is the culmination of the year's activities. The time when the collective group conscience of US, Canada, AA comes together to take actions that will guide the groups in the years that follow. The conference comes closer to a governing body than anything else in AA. But as Bill W. put it in the first edition of this manual, of course, it cannot be too often said that while the conference can issue orders to the General Service Office, it can never mandate or govern the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, which it serves. The conference represents us, but cannot rule us. The conference itself is not incorporated, but the General Service Board of Trustees, is, as are AA World Services, Inc., and AA Grapevine, Inc. Incorporation of these entities is necessary to carry out policies established by the conference to handle funds and to conduct AA business. Please send questions directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. Billy, you'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours.
Thanks. I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. We will have a little show and tell tonight for sure as we go through this because it's so much easier to use things visually to help people. First thing I want to talk about is who is a voting member at the General Service Conference? I'm going to use the number 135. I think this year it was 136 or 37. But it's always around 135 people that are voting members. There are 93 area delegates. There are 21 trustees, usually. There are six direct non-trustee directors, usually, and about 15 GSO Grapevine staff, usually. Usually 12 from GSO, three from the Grapevine. It is usually the Grapevine executive editor publisher, the Grapevine senior editor, and the Lavinia editor are voting members. On the GSO side of the house, it is usually the general manager, the staff director of staff services, and then the AA secretaries, the AA staff members, the desks, the corrections desk, the PI desk, the CPC desk, the conference desk. So that's who makes it up. Now, if you have a service manual in front of you, one thing I just want to start out with is to turn to page 130, which is in Exhibit O, the bylaws of the General Service Board. And if you turn to page 130, The second paragraph is super important, but never talked about enough, which says, members of the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous are hereinafter referred to as conference delegates. So, what that really means is we have four types of delegates. When we say delegate in our daily vernacular and we're at assemblies and everything else, we always think area delegate. But there's really four types: area delegates, trustee delegates, director delegates, and staff delegates. That line is there in the bylaws to send the message that everybody is equal at the General Service Conference, that nobody is not equal. And nobody is above or below anyone else. Because when we say us and them, it's kind of crazy because it's really all us. People are like the board this, the board that. Everybody is a member of the General Service Conference. It's just the delegates per concept four. And even though this is not a concepts workshop, I do want to just go over that quickly for everybody because this is where you can really see concept four come alive in the numbers that I just threw out. In my new service manual, it's page C12 in the back. Now, people try to apply concept four to all kinds of things: their work, their dog, their home, their inner group, everything. But let's talk about where it comes from, the conference. So when it says, throughout our conference structure, we ought to maintain at all responsible levels a traditional right of participation. And then it's really three parts. Taking care that each classification or group of our world servants, so each classification or group, there's only four at the General Service Conference: area delegates, trustee delegates, director delegates, staff delegates. Those are the classification or group of world servants that concept four is talking about. And then it says, shall be allowed a voting representation. Well, how's the voting representation? You have 135 people and 93 area delegates. That means almost 69% of the voting body of the General Service Conference is all area delegates. Then go to trustees. Trustees are 15%. Go to staff. Really another 15. No, staff is 11%. And then directors are 4%. So what it's saying there is, allowed a voting representation in reasonable proportion that the response that the to the responsibility that each must discharge. So what's the reasonable proportion? We're only talking about four groups of people. It's reasonable that the groups have the most power at the General Service Conference. They have 93 votes, 69% almost. All right, I'm just going to ask. I don't mind things being posted, but I don't want the chat coming up all the time repeating what I say. Because it's too annoying and then I lose my spot. So the next responsible party is the trustees. That's why they have the biggest percentage, 21. Then the staff, then the non-trustee directors. But it's so important to understand that although the groups are not equal, the individual voting members of those groups are equal. You might give a report at the conference as a trustee. You might give a report as the chair of one of the corporations, Grapevine or AA World Services. But you're just giving a report. That's it. When it comes to voting and debating, everyone is equal. There is, like Bill W. said about many things in AA, there are no second-class citizens. There are absolutely no second-class citizens among voting members of the General Service Board. Now, if you're one of those people that read the reports backwards, forwards, every line, every letter, there are people who are approved observers at the General Service Conference. These are all voted on the first day of the conference in what we call the opening session during housekeeping. Sometimes it's one or two delegates or trustees from another country who want to witness our General Service Conference. Sometimes, well, all the time, it's certain GSO staff that need to be in the room. The staff assistants, the publishing director, the archivist, they're there in case information is needed and the chairperson can ask them to come to the microphone. Important to know, and trustee emeriti. Any trustee emeriti can come as an observer. It's important to know that any of those observers come to the microphone when asked by the chair. Or if somebody who's a voting member at the microphone says, I'd like to hear from the archivist, or could I ask the publishing director a question? But those people are not voting members. So if we go back then to the section, the annual General Service Conference, we already talked about conference membership. We already talked about one person, one vote. If you go to the section about voting ratio and unanimity, historically the voting ratio has never been important since no issue has ever divided the conference opinion along the lines of delegates opposed to other conference members. But it conceivably be important at some time to take care of that situation. The conference charter provides, as a matter of tradition, that a two-thirds vote of conference members voting shall be considered binding upon the General Service Board and its related corporate services, provided the total vote constitutes at least a conference quorum. But no such vote ought to impair the legal rights of the General Service Board and the service corporations to conduct routine business and make ordinary contracts relating thereto. Now, we don't discuss conference items here. We don't debate them. But it would be important to point out this year from just a factual point of view. It says here, historically, the ratio has never been important since no issue has ever divided the conference along the lines of delegates opposed to other conference members. I have not heard one trustee, director, or staff member say that they voted against the plain language big book. I've heard many delegates say they did, and many delegates say they didn't. But it does appear that there was a vote this year with 38 people against. They got two-thirds. I'm not pro or con. It doesn't matter to me. But it does look like that this year we did have a vote that divided along those lines. What does the conference do? I want to start off with what the conference doesn't do and shouldn't do. So I would tell you that I get emails and phone calls, talk to people. Everybody wants to send their new idea as it seems we've put everything into acronyms these days. Like even my young sponsees, like ITP, his girlfriend is ITP in the program. I didn't know that one, right? CPI, I didn't know that one. Contempt prior to investigation, That's another one they throw around, We do that all the time. And now we have the dreaded PAI, proposed agenda item, Why, when we've been saying for 30 years that acronyms and initials kill our newcomers to service, do we keep creating new acronyms? PAI should not be used anywhere. How is somebody new GSR, anybody supposed to know that? PAI, proposed agenda item. But the problem sometimes, like a lot of calls that I get in emails, is somebody wants to do something and somebody told them, just send in a PAI. The conference is only going to deal with things the conference has authority on, and the conference needs to do it. You might have a great idea that doesn't require conference approval. Maybe GSO Publishing could handle it. Maybe the AAWS Board Technology Communications and Service Committee could handle it. Maybe the Grapevine Board could handle it. Maybe it's a service pamphlet. Remember, we have two kinds of literature on the AAWS side. We have conference approved and service. So on the service side, those are not conference approved. There's many pamphlets that are just service material. The trustees committee for that particular service makes the recommendation for changes for those service pamphlets. And then they make that recommendation to the general service board, and the board either approves it or doesn't. But it never goes to conference. The only time you would send something to conference when conference is not required to do it, that's the first test. If you have an idea or something you want to change, you have to ask yourself or ask your delegate or someone else, does the conference need to approve this? If the answer is no, then find out where is the appropriate committee or board or department at GSO or the Grapevine that you should send it into. The only time you would send something like that to the conference is if, let's just say, you asked AAWS to do something and they said no. Then you could send it into the conference and maybe they make it a proposed agenda item. It's kind of interesting, you know? The greatest, most user-friendly from an individual AA member daily in their lives thing that GSO has done since probably publishing the Big Book is the meeting guide app. The meeting guide app for sure. AAWS voted many times that they were not going to get in the middle of creating something like that, even though they were asked over and over and over again. The conference even voted it down once. Then some young genius named Josh said, "Okay, I'm doing it myself." And he built it. And all the intergroups connected to it. And then you know what happened? AWS bought it from Josh. Sometimes things take a long time before we admit they're a good idea. But I'm just telling you the path, like that can happen. The conference operates in committees. So let's talk about that a little bit. Next week is a whole chapter on conference committees. I'll just tell you right now that the conference has committees. There's the literature committee, the policy and admissions, the public information, the report and charter, treatment, trustees, Grapevine, finance, corrections, CPC, and agenda. Then there's two secondary committees. So I'm going to go into that. Let's talk about panel numbers, and then we'll talk about how you get assigned to a committee. This year was the 74th General Service Conference. Next year will be the 75th. There's two kinds of area delegates, first-year delegates and second-year delegates. Even if you're a delegate who served a term as an alternate because your delegate couldn't go, you don't keep that panel number. You become a first year again if you get your own term. So there's odd and even panel numbers at every conference. There's 93, so there's about 46 odd, 46 even delegates, area delegates. This year, half of our areas this fall will elect panel 75 delegates. Your panel number is always the first year you served. So next year, in April of 2025, They will be the new panel 45, panel 75 delegates that were elected this fall. And they'll be the delegates returning as second year area delegates, their panel 74s. The committees of the conference are only made up of area delegates. We'll go over that again next week. Trustees, staff, and directors do not serve on conference committees. Each committee has a secretary, which is a staff member, but that person is not there to give opinions or participate in debate or discussion. They're there to take minutes, and if a committee needs information from GSO, to get the information they need. Next week, we'll talk about more about the committee system and the individual nuances of the committees. The secondary committees are International Convention, Regional Forums, and Archives. That means each year around 18 delegates, area delegates, are asked to sit on a secondary committee. Those committees usually meet at night, one night during the conference, and usually don't have a heavy workload. That's why they're secondary committees. What else do I want to? So let's talk about process and procedures. So I am going to ask somebody to post the How the Conference Operates document. If none of you have this, it will be put where D puts and the district put everything. But if that could be shared right now, that would be awesome. Thank you. So you now have how the conference operates. Every delegate, and I mean all, trustee delegates, director delegates, staff delegates, area delegates, all get this in their conference manual. It tells them how we work, tells them what we do. I want you to notice, the conference quorum, two-thirds of all registered members is required to conduct conference business. That's registered at the start of the conference. Talks about the committee system. If you go down a little bit, it talks about substantial unanimity being two-thirds. It talks about minority opinion. Some important wording here. After each vote on a matter of policy, the side which did not prevail. So remember, why does it use that language? It doesn't talk about losing or winning. Because you could win a vote at the General Service Conference, but not prevail. So how would that work? Well, that would work because more than half voted for the item, but it didn't get two-thirds. So it did not prevail. So it says right here, the side which did not prevail will always be given the opportunity to speak to their position. If the motion passes with two-thirds, the minority may speak. If the motion receives a majority vote but fails to pass for a lack of two-thirds, the majority may speak because they didn't prevail. That becomes a little confusing. Remember that saving the minority opinions for after the vote when there is no rebuttal is a time waster. For it can force the conference to reconsider a question that might well have been decided the first time around. A famous old saying from a famous trustee is, everything needs to be said, but not everyone needs to say it. You could apply that to your district meeting, your assembly. Let's talk about another thing about conference voting. And mistakes, big mistakes have been made. I've even heard past trusted servants, current trusted servants give the wrong information on this. What I'm going to talk to you about applies to elections and to advisory actions at the conference. Let's say you have 135 voting members. Multiply that by 0.66. Even multiply it by 0.6666, you get 89.9991. When we're figuring out two-thirds, we do not round up or round down, okay? Because 89.999, if you rounded, you still need 90 people. Because 89 people is not 89.9999, and you just don't round up. You would need that 90th voter. We do not round up and down in AA elections and in figuring out two-thirds. Because if you do that, then it's not really two-thirds. And we haven't figured out a way to have a 0.999 percentage delegate voting. Each delegate is 1.0. Could you go to the second page? It's the same document. So here is an easy way to know things. How does a committee make a recommendation at the conference? Committees sometimes either work on two-thirds or on majority as a committee. But if they make a recommendation to the full body, first of all, it's considered automatically seconded because it's coming from a committee. Is it debatable? Yes. Vote required, two-thirds. Minority voice heard, yes, but heard only once. If there is a new vote after a motion to reconsider, then that vote sticks. There's no minority opinion on a second vote. Amending a motion. A motion on the floor is owned by the entire conference body, no longer by the committee which recommended it. The committee is not asked to vote on the motion to amend. Any motion to amend the main motion depends on approval of the conference. So it requires a second. Is the motion to amend debatable? Yes. The vote to pass that amendment? Two-thirds. Is there minority? Yes. Tabling a motion. This is important. I should have read this at my first conference because I didn't, and I got called out of order. I thought I was too smart. You know what I did for the other nine conferences? I folded this up, ripped it out of the workbook, folded it up, and put it in my pocket every day. Tabling a motion made without comment. What does that mean? It means when you go up to the microphone, you just say, I'm making a motion to table. You don't get to give your opinion and then say a motion to table. It requires a second. It is not debatable. And it only requires a simple majority. And there is no minority opinion on a motion to table. Tabling at the conference means it goes back to the end of the agenda, and then the conference will deal with it. Motion to recommit. This is made without comment as well. It is debatable. What does recommit mean? It means if it came from the Conference Corrections Committee, we're recommitting it to the Conference Corrections Committee. That's what it means. If it fails, then we continue debate until we dispose of that item. But if it passes, it goes back to that committee. That requires a two-thirds vote, and there is no minority voice on a motion to recommit. Calling the question, again, must be made without comment. Does it require a second? Yes. Is it debatable? Yes. I'm sorry, it's not debatable, calling the question, sorry. It requires two-thirds. Now, chair people have great latitude on calling the question because some of our people. Somehow they haven't read the AA group pamphlet about thorough discussion. If you don't like something or you think it's a waste of time, it's not your right to just make it. It's your right to call the question, but the chairperson might call you out of order and might say there hasn't been enough discussion. It's not debatable. It requires two-thirds. No minority voice, and we go immediately to vote. So reconsidering a vote. Reconsidering a vote may only be made by a member who voted with the prevailing side. So whatever side won, if after you've heard minority opinion, you can make a motion to reconsider. It has to be seconded, and it may be seconded by anyone. It doesn't have to be somebody who is in the winning side. It is not debatable. You already heard minority opinion. The motion was made. It was seconded. It only requires a simple majority and no minority opinion. If it passes, the other vote is thrown out like it never happened, and discussion opens up again until it comes to a vote, either naturally or someone calling the question or someone making a motion to recommit. On the second vote, there is no minority opinion. You can scroll down a little bit. Making a floor action. Floor actions are made, can be introduced anytime at the conference except for during sharing sessions. So, any other time, if there's a break, if nothing is being discussed, like it's in the middle of something, you can walk up to the microphone and be recognized. You can tell the chairperson that you would like to make a floor action. They will ask you to put it in writing and submit it. Floor actions have to be seconded when they're made. They require two-thirds to pass, like an advisory action. And a floor action can have minority opinion and can have a motion to reconsider. Go down one more, a little more. Is that it? Okay, I'm good. So declining to consider a floor action. This is kind of misunderstood by a lot of people. People think that people just get rid of floor actions. It's not just gotten rid of. Here's the rules for a floor action. If I submit a floor action at the end of the conference, when they get to floor actions, it goes in order they're submitted. The maker of the floor action is asked to come to the microphone. They get 2 minutes to present their floor action. After that, the chairperson will ask the body, does anyone want to make a motion to decline to consider? Someone can make that motion. It requires a two-thirds vote of the conference to not consider a floor action. So that is a healthy, healthy number of people. It's not just like a trustee or a staff member can go up and say, I want to make a motion, decline to consider. You need two-thirds of the voting body. And at 135 people, you're going to need around 90 people. And if you add up the trustees, the directors, and the staff, that's only 42 people. So you need a lot of area delegates also to decline to consider. Me just go to a couple of questions. So there is no friendly amendment at the conference to amend a motion. The whole conference has to vote on it. I would say technically yes. However, there have been times when a chairperson has exercised Robert's rules and has asked the committee if they're willing to accept that. So technically, what happens then is the committee is withdrawing the motion they made and presenting the amended motion. That has happened. We try to get away from that because friendly amendments become very, very time consuming at the conference. Could you put up the conference agenda? So this is the 73rd General Service Conference agenda. Hopefully, most of you have seen this working with your area delegate. We don't need to scroll through the whole thing, but this is just a sample. It's by committee. This is the final one for the 73rd in 2023. This comes out right around February 15th to February 20th. There's only a couple of areas left that don't share these with GSRs. How that's possible in 2025 or 24, I do not understand. But this is what the delegate will send to the DCMs and the DCMs will send to the GSRs. Could you put up the background material? We'll really go into this next week, but this is this year's background. This is every committee except it's the French and English for literature. The English literature, the English PI were their own files. But if you scroll down a little, you'll get a flavor of what background looks like. Each agenda item shows how it came in, who sent it in, and then the actual item and any background that the staff has accumulated to help you determine this issue. So the delegates get these via electronic file on what we call the dashboard, or I think there's a new name for it. But this is all electronically posted between February 15th and February 20th. And it's all done in three languages, English, French, and Spanish. Okay, if you could close that and bring up the final conference report. So this is just a picture of the final conference report for 2017. Every year, these are published. This is a picture of the hard copy. They're published, and they're also published electronically and anonymity protected. And this is the whole conference report. They usually come out sometime in late August, early September. So I just wanted to show you this so you know it exists. If you've never seen one, ask your delegate if you can see an old one. Or go on, the electronic versions are on AA.org. You can type in General Service Conference Report and a bunch will come up. But this talks about everything that happens at the conference, not just the advisory actions. I'm going to talk about additional committee considerations next week, but I wanted to use the last 5 or 10 minutes to talk about the flow of the conference. So you can take this down now. So what's the flow of the conference? What does it really look like? I'm going to use in general, because this year they cut a day away to try and save money. But in general, usually, the first day of the conference is the delegates only meeting. That first night usually is Saturday. That meeting is for the delegates to meet each other, to talk about how the week is going to go, general rules of debate, things like that. You are not allowed to discuss conference items at the delegates only meeting. Now, you know how well rules work for alcoholics. My first General Service Conference, right after they said no discussing conference items, a delegate started handing out a stapled together 10-page package to each delegate, right? So we do our best, right? We know the audience we're dealing with, right? We know the crowd. But that delegates only meeting is informational. The first day of the conference, we have roll call. All the voting members of the General Service Conference have to gather in a room. The chair usually, I'm going to go over the chairs and everything next week with committees, but each name is called out of voting members and you have to say present or not, you know, obviously just present, or if you're not there, you're not there. They also make some housekeeping motions about the observers we're approving at that meeting. Any observers that are officially approved will be voted on at that opening meeting. There is a keynote address at that opening meeting, usually by a trustee that's rotating that year. That's not in stone, but most years that's who it is. Each year someone makes the keynote address, and it is in the conference final conference report. After that first day, after that opening meeting, roll call, then there's meetings, what we call joint committee meetings. That's when each conference committee meets with its corresponding trustee committee, or in case of the Grapevine committee, the Grapevine board. No business is allowed to be conducted at the joint committee meetings that first day between the trustees and the conference committees. That meeting is for the conference committee to look at their agenda, look at their background, ask the trustees committee any questions they have that they're unsure of, or maybe were confused in the background. The other thing that meeting is used for is the trustees in their quarterly reports report what work that committee has been up to on a trustee level. So a member of the Conference Corrections Committee or the Conference Public Information Committee might have a question about something they read in one of their reports. It's not an agenda item, but they have a question. But that is what those meetings are for. On Sunday night, there is an opening dinner. That is the only official part of the conference that guests of the voting members are invited. They can come to that opening dinner. Other people invited to that opening dinner are retired GSO and AA Grapevine staff, the volunteer committee from New York Intergroup and Area 49, Southeast New York, the volunteer committee that takes the guests around all week and takes them to meetings and shows and Yankee Stadium and whatever else. And we don't pay for that. They pay for that themselves. But we have a volunteer committee of locals that helps them. They get invited to the opening dinner. Past trustees get invited to the opening dinner. At the opening dinner, five voting members of the General Service Conference speak at the AA meeting after the dinner is over. They get 10 minutes each. Unless they speak Spanish, French, then they get some more time because their translator is speaking for them. That's the first day, really, of the conference. The afternoon, by the way, the day before when I said we have that delegates-only meeting, there is a meeting of what we call the why am I it is escaping me right now, but it will come back to me. Let's go to Monday. Monday morning and Tuesday morning. Monday morning, first time the committees meet, 9 to 12 o'clock. I'm going to go over a lot of that next week because we have a whole chapter just on the conference committees. The committees meet Monday and Tuesday morning, 9 to noon. Some committees have to find other time, like they might start Sunday night after the dinner. They might work through lunch. They might work after dinner Monday night or through dinner, depending on how much meat is on their agenda, but we'll really get into that next week. Monday afternoon at the conference is usually reports. The chair of the General Service Board gives a report about what the trustees have been up to. The chair of the Grapevine Board gives a report, an annual report as to what's gone on at the Grapevine the last year. The chair of the AAWS Board will give a report about what's going on at the General Service Office and at AAWS Publishing and AAWS Services. They will talk about anything that's been going on for a year, for the last year. Later that day, the treasurer of the General Service Board will give a full financial presentation. There is time for questions after all of these presentations. At night, we have sometimes things called sharing sessions or what's on your mind. That's where delegates, anyone, trustees, anybody who's a voting member can talk about something that they see going on in AA nationally, internationally, in their backyard. That's where discussions about local or current AA trends might go on. You are not allowed to discuss conference items at sharing sessions or what's on your mind. The thing I talked about, by the way, I'll bounce back to that first day, Saturday, before the delegates only meeting. Although it's not officially part of the conference, there is always a remote communities meeting. And usually two or three delegates who have very active remote community committees will present to anyone who wants to come and hear it. A lot of people usually attend that session. When we get to Wednesday afternoon, that's when we have trustee elections. Regional trustees and trustees at large, that's where we do those elections, Wednesday afternoon. And then after that, the rest of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I will go into great detail next week. That is when the conference committees make their recommendations. And I'll go into detail about how that looks, what happens. And then that's it. That's the end of the conference week. It could be done at 4 o'clock Friday. It could be done at midnight Friday. You never know. On Saturday morning, there is a brunch. Now, maybe I was just too young when I was a delegate, but I don't know what country brunch is 9 a.m. That seems to be breakfast to me. But at GSO, they call that brunch, okay? There is a 9 a.m. brunch. Everyone that was a member of the conference will get to go to that. The only guests allowed at that brunch are the families of rotating trustees. Any trustee that is rotating is allowed to invite their family, their significant other, their children. Because once the food portion is over, the trustees who are rotating get to give what's called their rotation talks. Usually about 10 or 15 minutes each, depending upon how many are rotating at the same time. After that brunch is over, and everyone says goodbye, the General Service Board will meet to officially put the advisory actions of the conference into the General Service Board record. They will legally elect their new trustees. The conference already did spiritually, but the board needs to do it legally. Only board members and a few visitors go to that meeting. And then AAWS and the Grapevine also meet on that day. There was one thing I was going to mention about on Saturday, let's see, Friday, Saturday. On Friday night, I said it could be done at 4, it could be done at midnight. Traditionally, when the conference is done with their business on Friday, all second-year area delegates will get a minute to say goodbye to everyone else. So the conference sits, and each delegate that's rotating out will get a minute to share their goodbye with the conference. Sometimes I've seen this at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday night because the conference went so long. And so you're looking at people that look like they just hiked up, a mountain. But it's an important part of what was maybe a very emotional week, especially if things maybe didn't go your way, that you have a chance to say goodbye to everyone else. So I'm going to stop there. Because I have a lot of time next week to talk about conference committees and the real kind of mathematical equations and the real details of how things work. So let's see. Somebody said, how prepared do you think the delegates are for the conference in general? Are there delegates that go and have no idea what's going on and didn't prepare or don't take it seriously? That's a pretty strong question, putting me on the word, because you know that somebody's going to have something to say about my answer. I'm going to say this. The General Service Conference is no different than your district or your assembly. There are people who show up and are super prepared. And they've read everything in background maybe two or three times. They got things highlighted, dog-eared. Some of them have it all on their iPad. In my experience, are there delegates that come in prepared? Yes. But there are trustees that come not prepared. In AA, we've all had service commitments where people show up not prepared. Do we wish it didn't happen? Yeah, we wish it didn't happen. But sometimes it happens. Somebody asked about the 1728 meeting. That's 12 times 12 times 12. Each of our legacies times each other, steps, traditions, and concepts. If there is room at the conference, there's a 1728 meeting. It's not part of the official conference. It's to show the conference members what we do at board weekends. We usually have a 1728 meeting. It's where AA members who are serving on the board share their experience on a tradition or a step or a concept. It was geared towards helping Class A trustees assimilate into Alcoholics Anonymous service. Again, it's not officially part of the conference. There's also a 7 a.m., 6:30 a.m. breakfast, I mean, not breakfast, but morning AA meeting that is not part of the conference. They actually pass their own seventh tradition basket and pay rent for the space to the General Service Conference. It's interesting. You run into all kinds of people. Trustees, directors, staff, area delegates. Some people are so exhausted, they might not go to a meeting. Some people love that morning meeting and they go every day at 7 a.m. and they love it. You run into other people who the last thing they want to do is be in a room with the same people for another hour. And they go to one of the 2,000 meetings that are in Manhattan or Brooklyn or Queens that night, late night, 10 o'clock at the workshop, midnight down at Midnight Madness, or in the neighborhood, they go to one of the 6 or 7 a.m.s that are in the theater district or now in Brooklyn. So you have all different types. But again, that's not officially part of the conference. Okay, Brooke, all yours. Thanks, everyone.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.